Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. And where's Drew tonight?
Chicago.
What's going on?
Where's Waldo?
What's going on in Chicago?
I'm speaking at DePaul University.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. It's a very interesting school. You know, we don't have an affiliate in Chicago now.
Mm.
And there's quite an uproar about that. So hopefully soon we will have one.
Well, they'll get over it.
No, I'm sure they'll live without it. But it's, you know, we like this town, you know?
Chicago?
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone loves Chicago. No one has
don't
a bad
like
thing
it?
To say about Chicago. Yeah, I do. What's not to like?
Exactly.
And people that are a little chill coming off the lake in the winter, but other than that, everyone who's from Chicago and lived in Chicago and lives in Chicago just brags about it like it's their son on the football team.
Right.
Whereas L.A.'s like, anytime you talk to anyone from L.A., that's like they start apologizing. I came down. I moved down here for a job. They moved me. It was a job.
Right.
And, you know, I got this chick pregnant, and I'm trying to get up to the Bay Area. That's about the best they can say about Los Angeles.
Right.
About the best you hear is I'm trying to move.
Right. Or I got
stuck. That's it. No one ever really brags. I get the feeling that people like it. They just don't want to. It's not cool to say you like Los Angeles. So you go like, you know, you say, the weather's okay. But, you know, there's no personality. You say
no
things
culture.
Like that.
No culture.
The town has no soul. And, yeah,
everyone shakes their head, nods their head. Yeah.
People flock there. Yeah, and even look, you could get 10 Angelinos together, and they would all just nod their head while somebody just talks smack about the town. Low self-esteem is a town. Whose self-esteem is lower?
As it was said in Spangler, sometimes low self-esteem is just good common sense. In L.A.'s case,
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I can't figure it out. I got to move to another town to find out how much better it is. But it seems like things like public transportation and potholes and traffic and stuff like that is I don't think we rank up there with the Chicagos and the San Franciscos.
By the way, are Travis and Shayna still there?
Yeah, they're here.
I thought they planted themselves there last night.
They didn't. How much spleef was Travis smoking? By the way.
Oh my God! Crazy.
What? You know, that's what I was thinking about that when I was driving home.
No wonder he didn't feel his foot when he broke it.
Right. It was true. What the hell kind of... We're talking about Meet the Barkers, who were in here. Travis and Shayna were in here last night. Travis was taking a break every time we took a break and heading out and blowing spleef, right?
Yep.
Now, spleef is the name of his driver.
Oh, is that... Taking spleef.
blowing it.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Blowing spleef. You get it?
Oh, yeah. That's very
Drew,
funny.
How can you screw that joke up? It's so
very
easy.
Funny.
Thank you, buddy. No, he was smoking a little reefer, and only one time, though, did he come back, and I could really smell it on him. How'd that work, Drew?
I don't know, but the one time it almost knocked me out of my seat.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a problem, though, so it's a big deal.
For you, must have brought you back to your days when you played the tambourine for the Strawberry Alarm Clock.
I heard Doors music.
Oh, yeah.
I just heard it.
Yeah, that'll do it. All right, Drew, you know the Strawberry Alarm Clock? No song they sing?
No.
Incense, peppermint, remember that song?
Yes.
It's the druggiest song.
Oh.
It's the 60th druggiest song in the world. Except for just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
No, I don't remember that one.
Oh, that's Kenny Rogers in the 5th edition or the something edition. Come on.
Kenny
Michelle?
Rogers.
Yes, he used to be in like a hippie band.
Oh, my. No way.
You don't know?
I didn't know that.
The grooviest, 60th, druggiest, counterculturiest song in the world.
It was
by
in the
Kenny
Big Lebowski.
Rogers.
In what, Anderson?
The Big Lebowski.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so you just switched from groove and drugs to alcohol and gambling.
Here's the thing, by the way, Anderson. You cannot do references with Dr. Drew. You just start piling them up. Like you go, you know that that song just, no, nah, I don't. It was in this, no, nah, I don't know. Oh, the guy was in that movie was in this movie. No, nah, before you know it, you have just a huge pile of references that Drew hasn't heard of or seen.
That I've crapped on.
No, you don't crap.
But if it was in South Park, he'd be...
South Park, he'd know.
I'd be on it. I'd be on it.
You didn't see The Big Lebowski, huh, Drew?
I am aware of that film. I did not see it.
All right.
What are you going to do?
All right, Michelle's going to find it. We'll take some phone calls. Drew disagrees with your idea that... I don't know what this is. Let's talk to him. Alex?
Hi.
24?
Hey, I love your show, guys. I think you're geniuses.
Thanks.
Drew, I disagree a little bit about your ideas about the morning.
Hold on a second. Michelle, what do you got?
It's Kenny Rogers and the First Edition.
The First Edition.
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
68, 69. Just dropped in.
66.
66. Just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Yeah, I just dropped in.
It's the grooviest song. It's the druggiest song ever, Drew. Drew, what were you doing? You must know. You've heard that song.
I probably heard. I just don't recognize your rendition.
All right, but let me say something, Drew. And I always get we always argue over this kind of stuff because it gets insulting. If I give you the title and I sing it, if I go like, you know, Mary has a little lamb, and you're like, no, and I go, Mary has a little, her fleece is white as snow, and everywhere the lamb, and you're going, yeah, well, you don't sing it right. That just means you don't know it.
Yeah, that could be. That could be.
All right. Alex, go ahead. Dig into Drew.
Pile on.
I think you've said that the morning after pill is effective within 3 days of having sex.
Yeah, up to five days.
Up to 5 days. So it would work 5 days before till 5 days after ovulation. So basically there's a...
No. If you ovulated, you're going to get pregnant. It doesn't work if you've ovulated. So if you ovulate in the window after sex, it works. If you were to have ovulated in the few days after having sex, that's when it works. If you ovulated the day before sex...
Let it implant.
No, it doesn't work by the implantation. That's not its main mechanism. It no more so than your birth control pill taken daily. That's not how it works.
If you took a big dose of the birth control pill, it would stop it from implanting, and that would be an abortion. But if
it doesn't do that. No. First of all, the birth control pill already is equivalent to a big dose of estrogen and progesterone, right? And it has a theoretical... Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Anderson? Yeah. It has a theoretical... All birth control can theoretically interfere with implantation. All birth control. So my point is, if you're going to take issue with a theoretical potential of all hormonal contraceptives, then fine, let's get rid of all hormonal contraceptives. But to take aim at this one for which the predominant effect is suppressing ovulation, I'll refer you to two New England Journal articles in the last year. The predominant effect is that. Why do we take aim at that one? Why not take aim at all contraceptives? And then I can't argue with you. Then you have an argument.
Yeah. Well, you can still argue, but you're being consistent.
You're being philosophically consistent then.
Right.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right.
Look, people can argue with anything they want because, first off, religious people are dumber than atheists. I mean, let's be honest, everybody. You got to be a little bit stupid to believe that hype. So that's number one.
One of the time-honored arguments in religion, though, is that you're not supposed to subject it to rational scrutiny. You're supposed to have faith. And therefore, where does rational scrutiny get involved at all? And that's when it gets very confusing.
Well, so, Drew, you say that the morning after pill just suppresses ovulation.
I don't say it, but the overwhelming effect is that. Probably it can impair implantation probably no more so than any other hormonal contraceptive.
No more so than
Celebrex and Vioxx. All these medicines that have been in the news for other problems haven't even hit the news yet about its potential to cause abortion.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, condition, my condition was here.
That
come
one,
on, baby.
But the other
come
one,
on, Michelle.
Da, 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 na, 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 na. Is that the other
yeah,
one?
Yeah, that's Incense Peppermint.
Yeah, okay. I don't know.
Michelle, come on. Get on that internet and download that song or do something. Oh, man. You're going to hear Kenny Rogers like you never heard him before. So, Drew, let me just make sure we're all squared away here.
Go ahead.
The morning after pill stops or impairs your ability to drop an egg.
Doesn't okay? let the egg drop. Exactly.
Doesn't
if
let
you,
the
if
egg
you,
drop.
If you had dropped the egg at the time you had sex, I'm sorry, you're going to get pregnant. That's why it's only 70% effective.
Right. So, and how long does the egg hang out once you drop it?
About a day.
About a day.
Sperm hangs out for 3 days. That's why you got to keep the egg from dropping for that 3 day window.
Aha.
See?
That's what it is. I see. Stops that. But if it's already dropped, so you'd have to be pretty much down to that 1 day.
I mean, just do the math on it. If it worked by impairing implantation, it would be 100% effective. You
right.
know what I mean? It should work 100% of the time.
Now, impairing implantation is not letting the sperm get together with the egg or not letting the egg plant after it's been fertilized.
Exactly. Not letting it plant in the uterus once the sperm gets to it. And my belief, as many people are, is that the whole life begins at the point at which the sperm hits the egg.
That's right. And that's for me, it's when you can use the TiVo remote.
And as you use the TiVo remote. Yes, that's right.
Right. Yeah, it used to be programmed the VCR, but since I couldn't do that,
right, yes.
I said lowered my standards to the TiVo remote.
Of course, well.
All right. Let's,
there wouldn't be a very, very high population of the continent if it was the VCR issue, yeah.
Oh, it'd be so nice. Oh, imagine a utopia we'd be living in, people, if we just dragged a rake over this whole goddamn country.
Oh, now you're getting weird. You're getting positively weird now.
All the guys. All those people. First,
you need to go out in public more. You're going to need to meet the people a little bit.
A little room to stretch your elbows a little bit. But, you know, the people with the multiple lawsuits.
That's not a rake. You're going to need more than a rake. I guess you got some sort of shovel.
I'm just talking about just thin out the herd a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Just thin it out. Just thin it out. We don't need everybody. Carly?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yep.
What's up with the jugs?
About a year ago, I was on birth control, the pill form, and my boobs grew from a small D to a very large double D. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to go back on it, but I don't want that to happen again. So I was wondering if there's any other kind of birth control that wouldn't.
Yeah, there are many dose pills that don't have so much estrogen effect.
Did they go back down again?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, sorry, Adam.
Yeah. Well, we got to go. 17.
They went to boob heaven.
That's what I like to believe. They went to my grandparents' ranch in Montana, like my dog Rusty.
Yeah, Boobville.
Yeah. Hey, Ann, Plentywood. Hey, Carly.
Yeah.
You going to go to college?
Yep.
Where are you going to go?
Probably Kansas or Mizzou.
Mizzou. All right. Good boob country over there. And you don't want to step back up to the big double D anymore.
No. Not for summer, at least.
Ooh, that's the best time.
It's too much of a hassle.
No, I hear that.
Yeah.
I know, because I have an unwieldy sack. I know what it's like.
How funny was that we had an entire table convinced that you had a sack lift? What is the matter with our friend?
Oh, yeah. We were... We were at a wedding. Me, Drew, and eight people from the station.
And Jimmy.
And, I sort of count Jimmy as from the station. Some executives, a couple of bosses, some talent, their wives. Somehow I explained that I had a scrotoplasty. And the entire table bit on it. And then Jimmy made this sweeping statement, which I now resent him for. He said, out of all the people I know, you'd be the one who'd have that. I thought, I don't think that's a compliment, number one. Number two, Drew, have you ever seen me put any time into my appearance?
No, but he is paying homage to your massive scrotal endowment.
Oh, well, maybe
you
that.
See?
No,
see what I'm saying? He's not saying that you would worry about yourself. He's saying you need it, is what he was saying.
No, it was
he's
an
saying
attack.
All people. You need, was, and if you notice, I picked up after that, right? That's what I picked up.
It was nothing short of an attack, Drew.
Yeah, I know. I was had your back. That's how I was picking it up a little bit and really got him had him believing it.
And then went on to explain to the table, which was, you know, largely drunk, high, and drunk and high. And I think that's part of the thing. True. I think they had been softened up by booze
right,
and weed.
Well, what are you doing?
And they're a little more gullible. I then explained to the table that I had asymmetry in the scrotum right. and that one hung a little lower than the other. So I just went ahead and had that one raised up. The problem is they raised it too high. So I had to have the other size raised to meet that one. Well, they did that one too high.
And then I want to explain that these plastic procedures are often a set of procedures. You know, it's not just one time. You get a breast job. You have to have them revised. There's scarring. Same thing with the scrotoplasty.
Right. And everybody at the table thought I had. And listen, when Jimmy said that to anyone I know, he didn't mean because of my mammoth scrotum. I think he just thought it was a stupid enough operation for me to do.
That's nice. And by the way, you started out by saying you had your scrotum ironed out, if you remember.
That's
where I started.
I had a little booze in me, my own self. I'll tell you, though, you know the thing that's nice about a wedding?
What?
Nice daytime buzz.
Nice chocolate fountain at that one.
A chocolate fountain?
That was crazy.
They had, you know, the wine. Drinking a little wine at 4 in the afternoon. Standing out in the garden, get a nice buzz on. It's nice. All right, let's talk to, let's see. Once bigger boobs. Canic past. All right, let's talk to Anna, who's 16. Anna?
Yeah?
What's up? Uh-oh.
Okay, me and my boyfriend have been going out for almost a year. Mm-hmm. And me and him both have a chaotic past, like, with our dads.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering if, like, we would be able to work out for a while, you know?
How chaotic? Did your dad sexually abuse you?
No. Well, my dad didn't, but I was sexually abused by, my babysitter's son. And
beautiful.
My cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
bad
times. And then what about your dad? What was going on with him?
Well, he was like a big old drunk, and he'd come home drunk and throw dishes and all that stuff.
Dishes.
Yeah, that's
all
hard.
Right. Where's my bourbon?
It's hard to overcome those sorts of experiences.
What about your boyfriend? What happened to him?
Well, his dad was a drunk too, and he would like threaten to kill himself and all that stuff in front of like his kids and stuff.
Where's my bourbon?
Oh, beautiful.
You know what? I want to thank my dad for never saying a word for the 20 years. He was at the house with me. You know, Drew, I do complain about everyone in my family.
Here's something to be thankful about.
Thank God none of you people ever opened your mouth one time. So awesome. Thank you so much. Well, I think as long as you guys both are aware of what your
dealing
capacities and tendencies are, and you keep an eye and you don't, you know, here's the thing, and Drew, stop me if I'm wrong, but I don't think anybody's ever going to talk any couple out of arguing. The question is how long do you argue and what does it escalate to?
And do you forgive and can you flexibly return to a steady state? You know, can you be back in a normal state pretty readily? And in their case, they got to avoid drugs and alcohol too, because, you know, at least one of them is going to inherit that gene. And that will take you down for sure.
Yeah. All right. So, Anna.
Uh-huh.
Sorry for what you've been through in your life.
No, it's fine. I mean, my dad's not with us anymore. My mom kicked him out when I was like 3, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, and he doesn't have a dad either. They got divorced like last year.
But you got to remember, relationships are not supposed to be about sharing traumatic, horrible experiences together. I understand that's a common ground.
They just turn into that. Yeah.
A pain to go to. But you know, sometimes you end up pulling each other under with that. Be careful. I know it feels like, oh, we can understand each other because we've been through the same thing, but the reality is you both have the same injuries, and so your brains work the same way, and there's no one there to help contain some of that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, listen. If you know what you need to do, too? It's almost impossible to do, but you got to have that little part of you that stands outside of you and watches you as you begin to unravel and then stops it.
Why don't people...
Flips the yarn.
A lot of people don't have that. It's extraordinary to me, but they just don't have any of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know. Well, that's... I don't know what that is, but it's sort of... to me, it's the difference between smart and stupid. I know you you don't like to couch things that way, but you know when you you turn on Cops and there's a guy out in his underpants and he's taking a baseball bat to the neighbor's mailbox, and then the camera crew rolls up and he continues to swing the bat at the mailbox, and then the cops pull the tasers out and they start yelling commands at him, but he won't put the bat down.
Right.
That's stupid. You see, you can't sort of stand back and look at the situation.
Yeah, but that's sort of abnormal brain function, too. I mean, that's a seizure.
But these are the same people. But, okay, that's an extreme version of it. But then there are those people that just sort of have loud arguments in public places.
Right, right.
They can't see themselves.
Yes.
There's the people that sort of have loud cell phone conversations, you know, in the movie theater.
I don't care. I truly
well, there's, I don't. There's sort of I don't care, and the arguing couple has an element of I don't care, but it's I don't care meets who cares meets we're too stupid to know. And,
but see, what you're missing is this too stupid. The reason I don't like this too stupid moniker is that it's you don't exist in an emotional way to me. You don't, you know, emotionally, you don't exist.
Wow.
Now, you may exist intellectually, Adam. I've been meaning to tell you that.
Wow.
But intellectually, they exist, but not emotionally. And so there you go, Adam.
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, when you take really smart people, they never seem to do too much in public. I mean, they never seem to get in big blowouts. You never seem beating the crap out of their kids. You know, those people you see like swatting their kids in public and getting weird on their kids.
Imagine what they do at home.
I know. It's like, hey, if you're doing that at the gymboree, what are you doing at home? Throwing the kid on a rack and putting, you know, jumper cables on its genitalia?
Yeah.
All right, Drew. You didn't want to thin the herd, and look what we got now.
I'm kind of going your way.
Thank you. All right, we got to take a little break. Engineeress Michelle is on the internet finding me. Just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in. The condition my condition was in. Drew, come on, buddy.
No.
Kenny Rogers.
I didn't know he was in anything other than by himself. I never knew.
Blah, 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 blah. Well, listen, we're going to find this, and you are going to freak, man. Freak out, baby.
Freak out.
We are going to freak out together. Take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we got a lesbo. Can't get a girlfriend. Can't get the girlfriend to orgasm.
Ooh,
I'll tell her.
That's interesting.
I'll teach her how to do. Ooh, Engineers Michelle. Something in your wheelhouse, baby. We'll do all that after this.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Uh-oh.
Why not? That's what I'm saying. No reason why not. It's the Love Line, Adam. That's Dr. Drew in Chi-Town. Yeah.
No, as usual, it's 72, breezy, beautiful here.
Yeah, it's always nice when we're in Chicago.
Yeah.
He's out there in Chi-Town. He'll be back. When are you going to be back?
Tomorrow.
Yeah. All right, let's get back to the phones, because that's what this show is about.
Yeah.
And me singing First Edition songs with Kenny Rogers.
Next caller!
Next
caller, please.
Oh, yeah. Well, my condition was a booting boom. Oh, Drew, wait till you hear this.
Let's go work on some music one of these days, Adam. Let's actually get a song nailed down.
Cassandra?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yes.
What's the matter?
Well, when me and my girlfriend have sex, for some reason, she just can't have an orgasm.
How old are you?
She says it's something I'm doing wrong, but she can't really tell me what it is.
Uh-huh. She's 18.
And how old is the girlfriend?
She's 19.
And has she ever had an orgasm with anybody?
Yes.
And what does she say you're doing wrong?
She says she doesn't know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Cassandra.
Yeah.
You come out of the factory as a lesbian, or did you get converted out on the street? You know what I mean? Here's what I'm saying. Like, you know, certain cars, certain, like, old muscle cars, and even Ferraris that came out as coupes and then got converted into convertibles at a certain point. You know what I mean? Sometimes hard to tell if they're factory or not.
There weren't no going back.
Well, once they saw that top off, there ain't
That's
no
it.
Going back. No.
That's upset.
Yeah. Did you get monkeyed with?
Yeah.
You got a weirdo uncle or something?
No, it was just a long story.
All right.
That's very crystal clear.
Yep, I knew it.
I see that history now coming.
Who did this? Someone molest you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who was it?
It was my mom's best friend's son.
Okay.
Mom's best friend's son. All right. Was he much older than you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's enough. So, how long did that go on for?
Only like a couple of weeks.
All right. Did anything? How old were you when that happened?
I was 13.
Yeah, it's a little old for that. Anything happened before that?
What?
Anything happened before that?
No, not really.
All right.
Okay. It's like pulling
teeth. I'm done banging my head against this rock. So, Cassandra.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, are we boring you? I'll tell you what. I'm going to put you on hold for about another 30 minutes, all right? You see if you can, you know what? Get a little shot of a smelling salt and do that thing where you put your face in the sink and go, ugh! And then we'll come back. I like these sort of we are not amused by the goofballs from Oklahoma that are talking to a national radio show. And everything just starts sounding like a sound, but the sound, it's really just bad. It's just tones, and it all just sounds bad. Like, yeah, how old are you?
Yeah.
Well, what's wrong with your girlfriend? Were you ever molested?
I get that they're in pain, but everyone's got to step it up.
Right, you got to step it up. Sorry? Oh, and by the way, everybody, you are going to have a horrible life if you just go through life with that kind of... Hey, you want to fill out a job application?
Maybe a little customer service.
Yeah, that rental car. Is the insurance included in the $29.95 package?
But, then, you know, people get in that biological state where that's about all that can come out of them.
I know.
But then the deal is get treated.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, too. Here would be a decent job. Now, their parents end up being around them, their loved ones, teachers, everyone just sort of writes them off. And then you just get used to it and you start, you know, the parent is like, honey, you want eggs or cereal for breakfast? Okay. And sunny side up or basted? All righty then. Now you got to get moving because after school we're going to gymnastics class. I don't even know what the person's doing anymore. You know what my job should be? My job should be just going around and telling everyone immediately what's wrong with them, first impression.
With their first impression?
With my first impression.
Of them.
Yeah, I just got, talk to me. Okay, here's what's going on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I tell you, I also told my wife that people ought to pay me $3,000 an hour to walk through their house. And tell them what to do, and she was
what
like,
did she say?
She was appalled. She realized she married an a-hole at that point.
It took all the way till then, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, when I started announcing people to pay me to walk through their house and critique it. All right. Stephanie?
What do you get to you for you and your first impression?
Well, I don't know. I don't think you can do it with people that you may or may know from radio or television or something like that. It's not going to work.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
All right.
Step it up. Break it down.
Stephanie?
Hi, Adam. You make me laugh. I just had to say that.
Thanks, sweetie P. You're 26. What's up?
My fiancé doesn't want me to have a boob job, and I want one. And he's like, why don't you just try those herbal enhancers? And I was just wondering if those even work or what's the deal with those.
They do not work, but what's your situation?
We just got engaged, and what do you mean my situation? What do you want to know?
Your boob situation, I think.
34B.
Okay. And have you ever been on oral contraceptives, birth control?
I'm on some now, yeah.
Okay, because sometimes that'll add something, some women, depending on
how
much.
I haven't noticed anything, so.
All right. Did you get any breast soreness on the pill?
Yeah. Boobs always like seem to get a little bigger and sore, like right before my period.
And I'm just still aside by why do girls
boobs?
Want. Yes.
Boobs.
The ones that have the focus on the boobs or want the augmentation?
Boobs. Boobs. I like that, though.
Yeah, but what is that? It's a funny
I don't know, but you know, let me tell you something about boobs. It should have been boob in the first place.
I understand, but why do the girls that have the focus on it and they want the augmentation say it that way? What does that mean?
I think they think about it so much it changes the shape of their soft palate in their mouth or something. I don't know. Boob. Yeah, yeah, oh yeah. Come on, Drew.
It sounds a little me,
little hair.
You know, a little shamed a little bit.
Like boob?
I'm a little. I'm holding back a little bit because that I'm thinking so much about this, and so I put a little twist on the word when it makes me feel uncomfortable to bring it up.
Well, Stephanie.
Yeah.
Let's think other things you can do to enhance yourself.
Okay.
Like where do you work?
I am a hairdresser.
Mm-hmm. How do you do? Do you rent a chair?
Mm-hmm.
Now. Yeah, do you make decent money?
I do, yeah.
I always thought that would be a decent gig. You enjoy it?
I like it.
I could see you in that. That's the other job I could see you doing.
Yeah.
Either construction or haircutting, yeah.
Be a decent gig. Yeah. All right, so you have a career.
Mm-hmm.
You're happy.
Yes.
Your fiancé enjoys your breasts the way they are.
He says so, yeah.
Oh, you don't believe him?
I don't know.
Why wouldn't he want them to be enlarged?
I'm probably just more self-conscious about it than he is, but...
Yeah. I don't see, you know, here's the thing. If you're, you know, an A, or you're something that is just sort of off the spectrum of reality, then go ahead and do it. But 34B, that's fine. Most guys are fine with
this
that.
The thing that women get into where they don't believe their boyfriends, guys are not bashful about that stuff. They don't like something. They are going to tell you.
Well, they may not bring it up, but if you bring it up, they'll be with you.
They'll be
over it. Let's put it this way. Guy may want his old lady to lose 10 pounds.
Right.
And may feel self-conscious about saying anything.
Right.
But if she says, you know, I got to lose 10 pounds. I got to get myself into shape. You know, he'll go. Yeah, all right. Yeah, knock yourself out.
No. He'll go, oh, let's go down the gym right now. Sign up. Let's go.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He's not going to argue with you and, you know, rip up your gym membership or bust your treadmill.
Right.
Yes?
Yes.
Busting your treadmill is like, it's like she's no longer a girl anymore. She's now a woman. He busted her treadmill.
God.
Engineers Michelle, what do you got over there? You got any first edition? Got any Kenny Rogers over there?
I'm looking, but the computer won't let me download.
Why don't you go to a computer that'll let you do it? Do we have one?
I think. Remember, we got that notice that said you can't download anything because somebody was downloading porn or something.
Somebody,
yeah, Jed. Yeah. All right. We'll figure that out,
we'll
Drew. Let's.
Out.
Let's.
I got a little sample.
Do you? Yeah.
Do it.
Let's hear it.
Uh oh.
Hey, it's got a buffer.
What does that mean? Oh, it's got a download. Condition was in.
Oh yeah, what condition was in. Yeah. I pushed my soul in a deep dark hole and then I followed it in. Push your soul in the deep dark hole and followed it in.
I watched myself crawling out as I was crawling in.
Crawling out while I was crawling in.
Oh my God.
That's heavy, man.
I have never heard that song.
Don't you know what?
God is my witness.
You are so Squaresville, Daddy-O.
I really must be. I just was not into that stuff in the day.
You are the man.
I am the man, even though I was 8. I am the man.
hey, Daddy-O. Yeah, it was 1966, Drew.
I was 8.
See it, man? He crawled inside his mind, man, while he was crawling out.
Oh, wow. My God. How did we survive all that?
Yeah, Yeah.
What has that done to our minds?
The condition, my condition. That's Kenny Rogers.
To all of our, I know.
Hold on, that's the guy who sings. That's the guy who sings "Coward of the County."
You gotta know when to hold up.
That guy's got range, and he opened a chicken joint.
Now we wear like spurs and things. Weird.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, but just right. Sociopath. Well, whatever.
Come on, Drew. That was a big hit in '66.
Yeah, but to our listeners, that's all just a little sliver of history. For us, we've lived through that crap. I would rather been in Napoleonic Europe, I think.
Yeah, it would have been better. Well, Drew, you were in diapers. Who cares? Let's take ourselves a little break. Open your mind, man. You're so uptight. Take a little break, Drew, over there in Chi-Town. Ace Man over here in La La City. And we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah, everybody, it's Loveline. That's your music. Sure. That's what your kids enjoy. Sure. Let me tell you what Drew was rocking, too.
Back in the day.
Hair grown out, blown out, tuned out, dropped out. You know what I'm saying, man? Dropped a little peyote and went to the desert. This was the soundtrack to Drew's life. Let's hear it, Michelle. Yeah, even the beginning's trippy. Druggiest song ever. Ugh. Yeah, Drew, come on. Get with it, buddy. Oh, yeah, what condition, my condition. Yeah. Yeah, Kenny Rogers.
I woke up this morning with the sun down shining in.
Get heavy, Drew. Come on, buddy.
It's so much easier to be successful back then. Competition was so low.
He found his mind in a brown paper bag, buddy. That mean anything to you? He tripped on a cloud. Tourist, mind on a jagged sky.
What condition my condition was in.
Yeah. See, they don't write drug songs like they used to.
Thankfully.
Yeah, come on, buddy. You got to make the scene. Yeah, let's hear the next one. Come on. Follow the soul into a hole.
I watched myself crawling out as I was crawling.
See, when you get high, you can watch yourself do stuff without a mirror.
I couldn't unwind. So I broke my mind.
He broke his mind.
Just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah. Here's where it really gets funky. There's got to be some sitar in here somewhere. Now picture some guy with huge sideburns. Just smoking a brown cigarette, nodding in the engineer's booth right now.
Right.
We got it.
The guy playing guitar with a big mop of hair with a big headband.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the first edition. We ought to get these guys in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hey, producer Lauren, let's book Kenny Rogers in the first edition. See what they've been up to for the last 41 years.
How many are still alive?
Oh, come on, buddy.
I think they broke up in 74.
Yeah.
Like you said, what they've been doing for the last 30 years.
He left the road and flew out his mind, man.
8 miles out of Memphis and I got no fear. 8 miles straight up. Downtown,
got that nice 60s funky psychedelic organ in there.
This is a great case in point for not doing any performing early in your life. You don't want to leave anything like this behind.
Yeah. Oh, I think this thing has a real funky, weird ending, too. Here's where it gets weird. Oh, yeah. You feel high, Drew?
I feel like vomiting, but...
Come on, buddy. That's a stone gas right there, my brother.
Stone gas?
Yeah, bud. So tight.
I'm not cool.
Come on, man. Just grow that hair out, man. Get some pork chops on you. Get some facial hair going. Let's go.
Well, why don't you do it like Kenny does?
Get some of those pants that lace up in the front and in the back.
Let's be like Kenny and get a big, you know, 10-gallon hat and grow my beard out and become a cowboy.
I'm telling you, the guy's got range. Let's talk to Lisa, who's 21. Lisa?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
I just wondered if it is possible to catch genital herpes if, like, other people have it in a hot tub, not from sexual contact, but just, like, being in the hot tub.
No. If somebody has an active outbreak and they sit on the side of the pool and then you then sit in that puddle later, that has been suggested as possible.
It's not going to happen.
But that really never happens.
If you dry, if you use the belt technique I do when I dry, you know, I also called the flying V.
Yeah.
And then pass the towel on to the next person, you might be able to. But no.
Yeah.
No. Who's got the herpes in the hot tub? Oh, that's
well,
a good
I found out. I found out after the fact that one of the people that was in there had it.
Mm-hmm. How'd you find that out?
Through another person, but it was confirmed. Mm-hmm. I mean, that person knew that this person had contracted it quite a while
Don't
ago.
Don't you think if people were getting it by being in the same pool, you'd be hearing a little more about that? Think about it. The herpes is a fairly common condition. Every time somebody jumped in a pool, everyone in the pool would get the herpes. Come on.
This is a hot tub, so.
I know. Well, it's all totally different then. How dare you?
Yeah. There's only 100 gallons of water in there as opposed to 1,000.
Right.
So, look, Lisa, you're fine, baby doll.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Enjoy. Take care.
Bye.
Oh, hot tub. Remember as a young lad getting in that hot tub, a couple ladies through? Tough.
Not sure that ever happened. That was in my head that happened.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just dropped into. Yeah. All right, Drew, you don't know that song, huh?
No, absolutely
Still
never
know.
Heard it.
Still
no,
know.
Never heard right. it. Thankfully.
I was doing it.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you were.
Kim?
Hi, guys.
22, what's happening? Michelle, figure out how high up the charts that thing climbed in 66.
Please, no.
I'm guessing it made the top 10, no problem.
Oh, my God.
What Go made ahead. The top 10?
That little ditty we just played by Kenny Rogers.
You are obsessed with that song, I think.
Al, you know, let me tell you something. I'm like a pit bull. I got no quit in me. And all Drew has to say is the magic words of, I've never heard that before, and then that's it.
Then the show's dedicated to that song.
The show becomes dedicated. Or to whatever it is you haven't heard of.
Or yeah, right. So, Kim, what's up?
Adam, I have been a huge fan of yours forever. And, Drew, I love you. I read your book, and you're amazing, and you are an amazing doctor, and I have the utmost most respect for you ever.
Thank
but,
you.
Adam, wow. you
Here comes the
are,
bomb.
What's that?
Go ahead.
Adam, you are the most witty person, and you have the best personality that I've ever witnessed. I would love to meet you.
Don't confuse his wittiness with a personality.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll be right there. And
I'm retarded.
Is it true that you have a huge scrotum? I mean, is that true? Because if it is, that might ruin it for me because I'm in love with you and I want my boyfriend to be like you and you know what I mean?
Yeah, he'd have to alter his scrotum.
Stimulating conversations with him, and he's nowhere like you. And
they have something, Kim, called a coroloplasty. Mm-hmm. Where you can
enlarge it.
Just like
they
Corolla.
Can shape it like my head.
Yeah.
No, but
yeah.
are they really, do you really no. have like, because I can get both my boyfriends, and I don't have a small mouth, I don't have a big mouth at all.
Oh
and
my.
I can get
Ooh.
Both my boyfriend's balls into my mouth at one time.
Oh, okay. All right.
So,
really?
And I
How
love,
old are you?
I, 22. Just,
yeah. 22. All right.
Well, check I, love, a conversation
I love oral
like this
sex.
One.
I love sex, period. But, mm-hmm. I just wish that, I love right. you, and I think you're
awesome. All right, thank you. I feel the need to defend my sack here for a moment.
Even though Jimmy disgraced it.
Yes. And by the way, when my sack is not speaking to Jimmy's sack anymore.
I thought your sack wasn't speaking to any part of Jimmy.
Well, or mostly his sack. At the end of the wedding,
well, they used to hang out. You're right.
At the end of the wedding, I saw them confront each other in the parking lot. My sack and Jimmy's sack.
Oh my!
And I heard my sack say, "Good day," and Jimmy's sack said, "You gotta let me explain." And my sack said, "I said good day." and he threw his scarf around the top part and threw a cigarette down and marched out of
the
facility.
Wow. I wish I'd seen that. That was quite an event, quite a sight.
I was proud of him or her, you know.
Scrotum, he scrotum him.
Yeah, and he slapped him with a white glove.
Oh.
Yeah, now who's getting heavy?
Was that a glove, so the white stuff?
Here's the thing. I would say, I would truthfully say my sack is probably a little larger than average, but probably not by much.
Okay.
It's just, you know.
Now, be fair. You've got pretty good. There's a pretty good gravitational pull going on.
Nothing wrong with it. Nothing, you know, it's got a decent size to it.
No
but it's
abnormalities
not,
or anything like that.
No, I would never. That wouldn't be chronicled in any medical books or anything like that.
It's getting close. Well,
do you have hair on your back? I wanted to know that too.
No. I don't have any hair on my back.
Well, not on his back, but
I got
his
a little on my
side.
Ass. Yeah.
It's normal to have hair on your butt.
Really lathers it up.
Kim, it's a little outlying from the normal spectrum, though. But
I don't. You know what, Drew? Quiet down over there. I don't have an ounce of hair on my back, which is weird.
We got 40 pounds on your ass, so
I got a little on the ass, just enough to lather up the soap. And you know, my arms, it just stops at my elbow, and that's it. It's like I'm wearing a white shirt. I'm wearing, all right, we got to take a break.
All right, here we go.
Angora underpants with a white T-shirt. It's really what I look
like.
That's
what I'm talking about.
All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Drew is like a burn victim. I don't believe has hair anywhere on his body except for. On his head and in his right nostril. We will we'll take. He doesn't have hair on his forearms or
none.
Could you grow a beard if you wanted?
Yeah,
you could. It would be a regular beard,
more like goatee.
It doesn't grow in on the sides where
not so much.
Okay, buddy. Let's take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. He's in Chi-Town tonight, kiddies. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. A couple things, Drew.
Yeah.
First off, I had one of those nightmares last night where I actually audibilized my, you know, I like bellowed in the middle of the night. It's
what
humiliating.
What did your wife tell you? What happened?
I was like, and it's so humiliating because I was actually in my dream, which I do remember vividly, was getting prepared to kick some ass and was threatening the person, but it just came out like, why can't you talk?
Sometimes you can, but if you're fairly deeply asleep, but just you can't quite give the energy. You know, you can't articulate and stuff.
Well, I had the energy to make the humiliating sound.
Yeah, that's nice. Did you scare the hell out of your wife?
Nah, it was more like she married an idiot. Frightening, you know, real frightening. You know, the startle stuff you get over.
Yeah,
I married a retard.
Ooh,
you know, that lasts a long time.
Yeah, my daughter walks in her sleep a little bit. She was running out the door a couple nights ago with the dogs. Right out the front door. And my wife heard her, and she goes down, and she goes, "What are you doing?" She goes, "Huh?" Like, so they kind of go, blah, 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 blah. And she goes, "You're asleep, honey, go to sleep." And she goes, "I'm alive."
Wow.
And then another more blah, blah, blah. And she goes, "Where's my mother?" To her mother. And
wow.
And she goes, "Honey, I'm your mom." "No, my other mother."
Oh, the maid you were boffing. Oh, my other mother. Wow. That's going to send your old lady right into therapy. or over to the gypsy lady she talks to figure out the future. Wow. That's weird.
Isn't that wild?
Now, what do you think she meant, or who cares?
It doesn't mean anything. I mean, it doesn't mean anything meaningful.
I know. I mean, I don't know. You know, I had one of these, like, you know, like nightmares where it was like goblins, you know, like ridiculous.
Goblins.
Green lady trying to attack me. And I was,
wow.
It's weird.
You have like little kid dreams.
Not usually. Normally, I just have, you know, just dreams of, you know, stuff breaking off in my house. You know, I just have these stupid dreams where, you know, pieces of the space lab come through my roof.
Oh, seriously?
Stuff like that. Yeah, I have only negative dreams. I don't have any positive dreams.
Do you know, they were planning to do a, what's that TV show where they goof you, punked you? They were gonna have an airplane crashed into your house. They're trying to figure out how to do that. Do you wear this?
Yeah. Jimmy told me later on after they decided not to do it that they were going to try to figure out how to get an airplane to crash in my house.
Yeah.
I'd be a horrible guy. I'm a horrible guy to punk, though, because you don't really, you wouldn't know the difference.
Right.
I don't react.
The pulse would go from 48 to 52.
Yeah. When my car was completely totaled one night, I was talking to Jimmy on the phone. He was in New York. And I was just standing, looking at my car, looking out the balcony at it. And a drunk driver slammed into it and turned it into a can of corn. And Jimmy said, "What was that huge crash I just heard?" And I said, "That was my car being destroyed." Ugh. And he said, "Get out of here." And I was like, "No." And to people, I have such a lack of reaction. I think sometimes people think I'm not telling the truth.
Right. It seems
yeah. So
impossible.
I'm a horrible guy to punk because I wouldn't necessarily say anything.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
The other plan was to bring an inspector through.
Oh really?
Oh yeah.
That's
inspector
interesting.
Who was tipped off?
That would have been good too.
Yeah.
All right.
That you would have gotten worked up about, I think.
Yeah, I would have. I would have definitely gotten worked up about that. All right. We're going to hop back to the phones. What do you say, everybody? Yep. Ready to rock?
Yep.
Let's talk to Lee or Leah. No, I think that's Lee. Lee?
Leah?
Oh, Leah.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, that is Leah. 21, what's up?
Hey. I was just wanting to ask a question. I listen to you guys all the time. Actually, can I use your stuff on my own little places? But, I was just wondering, it's the first time I've kind of dealt with it. I was just wondering some things on if my boyfriend is cheating or if, you know, I'm just whacked in the head. I don't know
what's happening. What's going on?
A little tiny bit of backstory, though. I'm just going through a couple physical changes, emotional changes at the moment. I haven't had a monthly course for about 4 or 5 years. And we've been going
period?
Out for,
what is that?
I'm sorry?
You haven't had a period in 5 years?
No.
I was like talking to riddles here.
She said no. She said no like she was saying no to your question, not to what your question was.
I don't know. Let's get to it.
Your monthly course?
I haven't had periods in like 4 or 5 years.
Got it.
All right.
Are you heavy?
No.
Are you underweight?
No.
How much do you weigh?
150.
Okay. Well, how tall are you?
How tall are you?
5'10".
Okay.
A lot of women.
All right, so what's your question?
Okay, anyway, I just started having my periods like a couple weeks ago.
All right.
And so I knew I was a little emotional. It was just a mess. But I finally finish, and then he comes in. He just comes over one night, and he just kind of stands there. Oh, great, my battery's going dead. He just kind of stands there and starts talking down about my place, my paint, my furniture, everything like that. He tells me, "Oh yeah, I went out with a chick tonight. Went out to IHOP," and I was like, "Okay."
All right, Leia. You sound sort of confused and
14.
As spotty as your maxi pad. you just seem. I don't know if you think the guy's in love with you. That's fine. If he's abusing you verbally or saying he's going out with other women, feel free to drop him.
Exactly.
And you seem like one of these people who's sort of confused by life.
But the way sort of a young adolescent would be.
Right. You're 21. Do you have any friends that are smart?
Yeah.
Hang out with them.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, look, let me say something, everybody. Hang out with smart people.
That's true.
With successful people.
Yep.
Get your hook your wagon to their team. Yep. Let them drag you around. Yep. Here's the thing. Most people are sort of they hover somewhere in the middle of life. Yep. And if you hover somewhere in the middle of life and you hook yourself up with a bunch of loser drug addicts, whatever, you'll just go down with them. Or I'm just going apropos. Nothing here, Drew, but going on a jag.
All right.
Everyone always talks about negative influences. This person's a bad guy. You hang out with this group, you're going to end up in prison or the grave, or, you know, always talk about that. They never really talk about the good influence people.
Right.
It's not even good influence. It's just hang out with losers, you'll be a loser. Hang out with winners, you'll be a winner. So go hang out with the winners.
The thing is
you have to humble yourself a little, because you get to be the king of the tards when you hang out with the losers. You get to be the funniest guy. You get to be the smartest guy. Hey, you're making $9 an hour. You're the richest guy of all the losers.
Right.
But when you move on up to the people that are doing a little bit better, you're no longer the editor in chief. You're now kind of at the bottom of the winner pyramid. Better to be the bottom brick of the winner pyramid than be at the top of the loser pyramid. Yes, Drew?
Yes, sir. Yes.
They never talk about that.
No, they don't.
Find yourself people that are doing stuff and hang out with them.
And listen, if you hang around with smart people or compete with smart people, just like, or anything else, you compete with people that are better at anything than you, you're going to come up to their level.
Yeah, I do, you know. I grew up with a bunch of guys who always wanted to be sort of leader of the pack of a group of idiots. and they would never venture out of their group, because the second they got out of their group, they were the idiot.
Right.
They drove the worst car. They had the worst apartment. They made the least money. And they were the dumbest. So they stayed in their little pack and just sort of made fun of the other people. Yeah. Meanwhile, 20 years went by, nothing happened.
Right. Right.
Go hang out with the smart people. It's humbling for a while, but then eventually you get to be one of them, and everyone's happy. And let me say this, too, about smart people and successful people. Everyone says, oh, well, sure, they're successful, but they're miserable, or they're successful, but they're snobs. No, not really.
That's your mom talking.
Yeah, well, that's society talking oftentimes, and people that aren't doing so well talking because they're envious. The people I know that are successful, they're actually happy, and they enjoy it, and they enjoy themselves,
and they like
generous.
Other people. They're generous. They like people too.
Yeah, yeah. So go ahead and surround yourself with those people, everybody. All right, Drew.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the phones.
That'd be great.
I got to talk about pie tonight too. You know
why?
Well, because something came to my attention during the commercial break.
Oh.
I'll get into it after this phone call. Andrea?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yeah.
What's up?
So I had a question. Whenever I have sex with my fiance and I'm on top, there's a considerable amount of pain. And I went to, in my last annual checkup, the doctor thought I might have a cyst on one of my ovaries.
Right.
So she had me go to, she asked me if there was any pain, and I said no, because I just didn't really connect them at that point. And so I went and had an ultrasound, but I'm almost positive they checked the wrong side.
No, they do both sides when you have an ultrasound.
He said he was only looking at the one side.
Yeah, but they'll do both.
And I didn't feel the probe. Like,
yeah, they may have been looking extra hard on one side, but they'll do both. And by the way, he must have felt it on the other side, too, when he did the pelvic exam.
Well, it was a different doctor that did the ultrasound versus the...
I understand, but if they're going to look at one side, it's because the doctor that did the pelvic felt something on that one side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they're always going to do both sides. Relax. They did both sides.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So now, what's
the feel like they did both? They always do both sides, no matter what.
Yeah? I can't say no matter what, but it'd be bizarre if they didn't.
Okay. So, do you know how I could? Why there would be the pain from being on top at all, or
maybe it was a cyst are exceedingly common. Maybe you had one on the other side that ruptured.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So everybody gets cysts.
Yeah, I got one now in my ovaries. Do you need to be on top? Can you get in a position that's more comfortable for you?
No, we just don't typically do it that way. But I haven't for a number of years. I haven't been able to do it on top. And
that's fine. That's fine. It may always hurt that way. It just may be your anatomy. That's all. It's okay.
Andrew's funny because she you'll go, well, do you think there's no?
I know. She's so woo.
Yeah, but she screams her no, and then she goes back in a normal tone. I think I got to talk about pie, Drew.
All right.
I also think we're going to play some accordion countdown.
I was thinking about it.
It's been a while since we've heard Ace's Mexican Ranchero accordion countdown.
I'm thinking a 4-second bet for me, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're already picking your number out.
Feeling bold, yeah.
Brazen is what that is, Drew.
Yeah.
Yeah. I signed during the commercial break. Junior, producer Lauren came in. I actually gave you the extended dance mix on that one.
It was nice.
It was hot, huh? She came in and she wanted me to sign an autograph for a guy who is getting married, and because of me.
Oh.
Because of me is serving pie.
A wedding pie.
Instead of cake.
A wedding pie.
And as I've said many times, if I can change only one person, I'm going to kill myself.
But what kind of pie?
Because that's really, it's almost like nothing. With the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people listening, just one person, kind of crappy batting average would that be? You know what I'm saying?
What kind of pie is he going to present at the wedding?
Well, I don't know because I didn't have all that information, but I served pie at my wedding, and I'll tell you, it goes. People love pie. And here's what I want to say to all you cake holes over there. That's a good name.
It's good.
I don't want to, you know, you guys do these scenario things where you slant it your way. You go, are you telling me if I went down to Fairfax on the west side and went to the best bakery in town, spent $80 on a German chocolate cake with layers of boysenberry in between, that isn't better than the one I wrestled away from the hobo that was behind the Vandy Camp thrift store with the fecal matter on it?
Right.
Come on! It's like, the $80 cake and the one with the hobo that blew a snot rocket on it that was got out of the dumpster and the thrift store. Yeah, it is better than that one.
Yeah.
When we do these comparisons, though, by the way, I'm no lab technician, but I'm guessing, Drew, stop me if I'm wrong, you have to just have the same $5 or $8 cake versus the same $5 or $8 pie.
You would hope.
Now, I'll give you $5.95. You head to any supermarket in town, buy yourself one of those nice, aptly named sheet cakes with the white frosting and the lard on there. Go ahead and write your kid's name on that. I'll head over to Marie Callender, spend $5.95 on some in-season peach, maybe some strawberry, and we'll see whose goes faster when we set it out at the party. All right? Yours, you will have a pack of cigarettes put out in yours, and they'll be sitting all over the place. The dog is going to be the only one who enjoys it, and your stupid friends. Mine, they go. And I'll tell you this, too, about pie. Pie, you have to guard. Cake you put out, everyone leaves it alone. Pie, you got to keep people away. Bebo, we're not finished eating. Don't get into that yet. People start helping themselves.
They come back for seconds.
That's right. And again, cake, you have to distribute. Pie, people come up and get. Cake, you got to get some poor bitch to walk around. Here, have the cake. And everyone's sitting and they're eating, they're drinking, they're like smoking. No, I'm good. No. You don't get that no back and forth with pie.
You don't
have a nice piece of apple pie a la mode and put it in front of someone. No, I don't. I just set it down here. You don't get that. Cake, that's how it goes. And then the person always inevitably just sets it down. That's the compromise. Put it on the arm of the sofa. You just stare at the cake for a while. You get a finger full of frosting, and then you get up and walk away.
Right.
That's how it works with cake. Pie, so much better. Why do people argue with me with this? And you can have wedding pie. Just go buy a bunch of pies. Buy the good ones.
No, people like to decorate cakes. I think that's the bottom line.
Right, but you can decorate plywood. It doesn't mean it tastes good.
I know. It's just a
nice substrate for your decorations.
Right.
All right. It's a nice word there, substrate, huh?
Nice. Well done.
Thank you.
Been hanging around smart people. Winners.
That's my gig. All right, so everyone, let's get going with those pies now. And let me say this about pies, too. About the same price they were 20 years ago. It doesn't seem like they went up much.
What did Mr. Deliberti say with you using a word like substrate?
Mr. Deliberti was my biology teacher at North Hollywood High who failed me when I was in 10th grade.
Now you're using a word like substrate, which is what enzymes work on.
No, really? It's also what you a backer for laminate in the construction world, too, so it's not that lofty. But the point is Mr. Delberti failed me. And,
that's what I'm saying.
As soon as I got on the air, my pledge was I'm going to get on the air and yell at everybody. I'm not interested in entertaining people or informing people. My pledge was to yell at everybody that ever did me wrong, all the crappy
bosses.
You yelled
at him on the Letterman show, didn't you?
I yelled at him on the Letterman show. Yeah. My personal, my family members, they're all paying. Now, after 10 years of being on the radio, I only dedicate about 40 minutes a night to it. But at the beginning, it was all yelling at people that failed me and screwed with me and fired me and dumped me and all that stuff. And Delberti, he used to call the radio station.
What?
And don't you remember we'd be over at the old station and someone would come in and go, there's a guy named Mr. Dalibursky who's on the phone. And I'd be like, I don't want to talk to him because I was yelling that he wore a rug.
Oh.
And I thought he'd start yelling at me again, you know?
And what happened?
I never talked to him. And then I did our good friend Dickie Barrett's radio show about 4 months ago.
Oh, my God.
And I was just yapping on his show. And all of a sudden, it was like, it wasn't my show. I was a guest on someone else's show. And it's like, hey, a guy named Mr. Dilbert's on phone said he failed at him in high school. Oh, put him on. Next thing you know, he's yelling at me.
What was he yelling?
Well, I've been saying he'd be wearing a toupee and he was an idiot and how dare he, and he'd go back to his crappy apartment in Van Nuys driving his K-car.
I can't believe you didn't tell me this.
Yeah.
I've been hearing about Delaberti for 10 years.
Uncomfortable.
And what did you say?
I did a little backpedaling. He had a decent sense of humor about the whole thing. And you know the thing that's weird about teachers? They remember everybody. He was like, Corolla.
He spent a year with you.
Yeah, but I was big teeth, a Brillo head, and an F to him.
He F'd you?
He failed me, and I showed up every single day of his class.
Oh, what did he say? Did you have the opportunity to get him to kiss your butt?
No. Yeah, he just told me I was a crappy student. That's about it.
And did you... I can't believe you dig into him for how horrible the LA Unified was to you.
I'd been broken by their warehousing techniques many, many years ago.
Wow.
All right, come on, Drew. Let's go. I'm getting depressed now.
You are. It's incredible.
Let's see. Already has C-cup still growing. 16.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Good time.
Gives more BJs than she wants to. Kristen?
Hello?
19?
Yeah. Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Kristen,
sorry,
hot name.
Smacking on
some
gun.
Good name. Are you
all
cute?
Right, I'm not going to be like a brat. I'm a good-looking girl.
All right. Keep going.
How you guys doing?
Good, good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good.
All right. What can we do for you, then, sweetie?
So, basically, after I broke up with my last boyfriend, my phone's going to die. Hold on. Of course.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Totally convenient. When I'm not anything close to a slut, but obviously after a relationship for a long time, basically now I'm hooking up with guys.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And my question is, when it's getting like hot and heavy, and say I don't want to have sex with a guy,
mm-hmm.
what do I do to kind of not seem like sorry, my dog. Pig, stop it.
Pig?
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry, she's an English bulldog.
Mm-hmm.
My question is basically, how do I stop things before having sex, but if it's like really hot and heavy without it seeming like I'm a tease, and then I just end up kind of giving the guy head because I don't want to sleep with them, but I don't want them to, like, feel like I just totally... I don't exactly know what to do, if that makes sense.
Wow. Where was that imperative when we were dating, Drew?
Well, you can tell her what
charity
used to happen in the
BJ.
Day.
Yeah.
In
look.
The day, yeah.
I guess I don't have, like, enough experience to really know how to make the correct boundaries for myself.
All right, all right. Here's Kristen.
Yes, very much.
All right, quiet down for a second. Throughout history, you just stopped when you were ready to stop. And that's about it. You know, you
and
just
guys would not claim some sort of violation of a Geneva Code. You went as far as you were comfortable. Yeah, you don't know them.
No, as a matter of fact, most guys felt sort of lucky that they copped a boob feel outside of a sweater.
Right.
Even if I'm naked and I say, no, I don't.
Well, maybe the boundary needs to get a little before that.
You're getting naked, huh?
See, guys.
Well, who are these guys? And do you like them? Are you into them?
Yeah, to a degree of not wanting to take it further than, you know, hooking up with them on a semi-frequent basis, but...
Yeah, but what about dating? Do you want to date these guys?
They're guys that I am dating, but not... I just... It's kind of... I guess maybe it's happening too quickly.
Are you dating... Right. Are these multiple guys, or are these guys one week and then a new guy?
It's happened over, the past few months. But it's been sort of, like, the same situation. If there's a guy that I'm interested in, I've hung out with him, you know, a few times, mm-hmm. and then it gets to that point, and then I don't know.
Right. All right.
How old are you? Wait, how old is she?
19.
All right.
Well, let me say this, Drew. First off, there should really just be some sort of pump. Some sort of a pneumatic device that you could hook the guy up to and just go, look.
It's time for the device. It's time for the orgasmatron.
Yeah, look, I'm going to hook you up to their orgasmatron. puts out about 120 PSI. It's actually the same. It's one of the same motors Wagner makes. It's the same one they use on their airless spray unit, commercial unit. It'll work, and then actually there's a drain scupper. It just feeds it right outside the house, so it's no big deal. Though we did have to get the dog away from that area. I'm gonna dance naked in front of you. I'll flip this thing on, and I won't get any fingerprints on me. You'll get what you want, and we'll call it a night. I think most guys would go for that.
Yep.
Yeah, they would, and it might just because there's almost just a sort of medical mandate here. This guy has a sack full of love to give. It's been 3 hours of rolling around on a waterbed.
Men manage to deal with that on their own.
Yes, they do, on the long horse ride home.
They're sack full of love.
All right, well, hold on a second, Patricia, because I want to get a little more into this. Where's my theme song, Michelle? Oh, how soon you forget what my theme song is. She looked at me cross-eyed.
We got to do some Ranchero Countdown, too.
Hey, we're going to play Ranchero Countdown. We got a big night. Still, too much show. Too much.
Yeah.
Too much. All right, we're going to take a little break. Forget about our theme. We'll come back with it. Patricia, hang on. Oh, I'm sorry. No, wait a minute. Where was she? Kristen, yes. Kristen, hang on. We'll get back with you after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew in Chicago tonight. He'll be back in studio tomorrow night. When we left off, we were speaking to Kristen. Kristen, 19.
By the way,
hot.
I know. You could tell.
Hot. Yeah, you could tell. And then gets naked and rolls around with guys and ends up giving them a little oral just to, you know, send them home happy. Doesn't want to do it, but doesn't want to have sex. Doesn't know what to say.
Feels sort of obligated somehow.
Yeah. You know what it is? You know what women have done to themselves with this? Huh. The same thing TV shows have done with the over-extravagant gift baskets.
Right.
See, back in the day, you'd show up to a TV show, you'd do the TV show, they'd hand you a mug with the name of the TV show on it, and you'd leave happy. You'd go home. I got the mug! Look at that! It says Terry Bradshaw right on it. Awesome! Now, you know, you got to get a Walkman. You got to get a little iPod in there. You got a little Pashmina going. Oof. You got to get like a thing for a prescription for a LASIK surgery and all that stuff.
Right.
Especially these award shows. There's like $20,000 worth of stuff in one of those baskets.
Right.
So now they've raised the bar, and now if you don't have a basket, you're just an a-hole. By the same token, you don't give a guy a BJ, you're an a-hole.
Right.
back in the day, guys didn't expect the BJ when they went out on a date, even if they started making out and rolling around.
Right.
Now, the fact that she takes her clothes off, though, doesn't make it any easier for her.
No, it doesn't make it easier for her. But the BJ, in a way, is sort of a diabolical way of avoiding having sex, too.
Yeah. Yeah, but one man's trash is another man's treasure, Drew.
I'm
always
just
remember
saying.
That.
Just
you and Drew's either so gay or so straight, he doesn't like BJs. But he does not speak for moi. Kristen?
Yeah.
Okay. So we would first suggest not getting to the point where you get naked and sort of roll around.
Yeah, they certainly don't have an obligation to do that, okay?
Well, it's not that I necessarily feel it's an obligation. I don't feel that's an obligation. But it's that I'm enjoying that whole process.
Yeah.
And I think
for you, it's about enjoying the attention this guy's paying to you. And I'll tell you what's driving that attention. It's his sack that's going to, explode like a pomegranate left in the sun after it falls off a high tree. Yes, Drew?
Yes, Adam. Well done.
Graphic.
How does that connect to my attention wanting, in your opinion? I'm confused.
Well, okay. We'll put her on hold again. Drew, stop me if I'm wrong.
All right, go ahead.
For women, I mean, women enjoy the physical contact, too, but they love the whole process. Like, hey, this guy is into me. He is all over me. I've never seen a guy more attentive.
And the feeling of all that, too. The feeling.
Yeah, it feels great to have this guy that is working so hard to please me, and he's so attentive. Guys are, look, here's how guys are. Hate to draw the dog analogy, but here's how guys are. I have a dog that really thinks it's a cat. I mean, has no idea who I am, doesn't pay me any attention, doesn't get up and greet me, doesn't do any of that thing.
That's until, your dog?
Yeah, nice dog. Nice dog, but emotionally abusive. Let's not kid ourselves. It's like, Molly, come here. Man, Molly, just go. She'd rather lie down the hallway than come sit up on the sofa and watch TV with me.
Wow.
Now, until it's time to eat. Now, I get myself a nice nice meal, nice chunk of lasagna, and I'm watching TV. All of a sudden, the dog's on me.
Oh, the guys rubbing on me. The guys are like Molly.
That's why they are.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, and it kind of feels good. It's like, oh, look at her. She puts her head on my thigh and kind of snuggles with me, and she's trying to get closer to the food. But it feels kind of good. Like, she's up on the sofa. She's paying attention. She's attentive.
She's attentive like crazy. Looking at you like a laser beam.
Right.
Sniffing you.
Looking and giving me the big brown eyes and everything. Okay, that's because I'm eating.
Right.
They want something that I have.
Right.
That's how guys are in the bedroom.
Yep.
And especially on the first few dates. And for the women, they don't necessarily get that kind of attentive behavior from guys. But all of a sudden, they got a nice chunk of lasagna and it feels pretty good. Now, at the end of soaking up all of Molly's love, I feel bad if I don't give her a wedge of lasagna.
Right.
Because she put in the work. I'm not going to give her the whole thing. I'll just cut a little piece off the side, let her eat that.
But the reality is, what's good for Molly is just to let her be.
Or
then,
learn.
Then, by the way, she start coming to you more when you didn't have food.
She'll learn to be attentive when I'm not eating.
That's right.
Right. Right.
So and when I say a perfect analogy now.
And I hope you understood when I said piece, corner of lasagna, I meant perform oral on the dog. I hope that was clear.
Of course.
Okay, I just didn't know if it was confusing or not.
No.
Okay.
You're weird now, Adam. Come on.
Sorry. I just dropped in to see what condition was in, Drew. So Kristen likes the attention and then feels like, well, after 3 hours of rolling around and getting this affection and attention and physical stimulation as well, I got to pay the fiddler.
Yeah.
Right, Kristen?
I from a girl's perspective, and I'm sure you guys have had, so many others, but that's not really how I feel about it.
Hmm. Well, how do you feel?
All right. Tell us how you feel.
For example, say last weekend, this is kind of what prompted my question about it, was there was a guy that I was hooking up with, and to be honest, like, the whole process wasn't as enjoyable as he wasn't really putting in as much work as I guess I would have liked. Mm. Or I think it's like everyone's had that experience where it's just not, it's not meshing correctly, and, you know, maybe they think they're doing a good job, but things are coming off faster, and there's not really the kind of, I think women like things with at least a little bit of pace so that you enjoy it. And
did you still give him a BJ?
Yes, but that was that's the main thing.
It's like tipping when you get horrible service. It's a bad message.
And I'm a big tipper, even if I have horrible service.
Thanks.
Is your dad an alcoholic? You codependent?
Oh, God, no. Not even close. I just don't. I guess I sometimes overcompensate by being nice instead of being mean.
Not mean, just being assertive.
It's not
reasonable.
Mean to
boundary.
Have a guy you're not, you know, don't know all that well, not to perform oral sex on him. I mean,
so you just, and like when just, the condom, like that thing, like ripped, and I was like, no, this is not happening. And he was like, why? Why not? Like, and I was like, I don't want it to happen. And,
what
and
condom?
Then I genuinely feel bad about the fact that, because I've heard that boo balls, that expression is like very painful, and I feel
my
like
cousin
it's
died
my
from
responsibility
it, so.
To lead them on.
Cousin Greg exploded on the way back.
But maybe
from
you shouldn't go so.
I
know. The pomegranate again.
Family still talks about it.
I bet. Well, they don't
it's
talk about
during
anything,
the holidays.
Though. That's why they stopped talking.
Toughest part was cleaning the headliner of the car. It was in a 78-79 Jetta.
Oh, the humanity.
It's tough. Yeah. Wait a minute, Kristen. What about the part where the condom broke?
No, not broke. The wrapper was, like, open. That was just, like, he had that down pack right from his...
You're going, Chris, I just think you're going way too far into this generally. You're getting yourself in bad situations. You gotta... Guys, when they get some momentum going, it's very difficult to slow them down. You gotta just for your own good and for everybody's, just slow it up a little bit.
I still didn't get the condom part of the whole thing.
I think that he whipped it out. He broke it out, basically. And she said, this isn't happening, see?
Oh, but she gave him a little oral.
Right.
Oh, I'm going to kill these guys. I got a long
list. They have no idea either. They have no idea.
You know what? But though, like, one day, they're going to find me on top of some 18-year-old just beating the bejesus out of him. And they're going to be like, what happened? And I'm just going to be like, this one's for TiVo. I had to sit home and watch Maude with my mom. This one's for oral. This one's for iPods. This one's for figuring out your favorite celebrity and finding enlarged pictures of her vagina on the internet to just punching her name in there. Just going nuts, just beating the crap out of a... out of an 18-year-old guy.
Yeah.
All right. Let's play, Drew.
Ranchero Countdown.
Let's play Ace's Mexican Ranchero Accordion Countdown.
I told you. I have a bold bet to lay down.
It's been too long.
Yes.
And the person that's really, really the driving force behind it, engineeress Michelle, who's here, who basically has a library of ranchero music because she hates herself and does weddings. And, baby, you're doing the wrong weddings if you're packing the ranchero. But she's going to play us a snippet. We pick a random ranchero song, random spot. We hit it, and we figure out how long before the accordion comes in. Drew, you say 4 seconds?
4 seconds.
I'm going to say 2 seconds.
All right. Pretty good. Safe bet.
All right. You ready, Michelle?
Yep.
3, 2, 1, go.
Oh,
that's
God.
Immediate.
That was absolutely instantaneous.
By the way, I don't know if this is possible, Drew. As you know, I failed biology in high school. I think that I actually heard accordion music before she hit the button.
Adam, I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah. Turn it up a little. This is
okay. It's a new bet. Uh-oh. That was the same weird stuff on this one, guys.
Now, let's all just do the math and figure out how the space program is going in that part of the world. Yeah. Let me explain what you do to this music. Nothing. You do nothing. You get high, and you get drunk, and you eat. That's you. This music, if this is sort of the theme of your country, it's like... All right, listen, we got to sit down, and we got to come up with a hydroelectric dam so that we can start producing cheap Fuel efficient. Who wants a beer? Anybody need a beer? Who wants a cold one? Jesus, nice outside. What? Let's get out. Let's go out and crack. Let's get
take
a cold
break.
One. Let's take it outside. Let's take a break. Let's take a break. Yeah. Hey, it doesn't matter. Listen, fellas. I will not rest until we plant the Mexican flag on the moon. Now, what it's going to take is we're going to take a propulsion system. It's a system that's going to be able to power a vehicle outside of the confines of the Earth's gravity. Who could use a cold one, though? I'm parched. What time is it? 9 a.m.? Christ, I don't have a buzz. Well, it's got to be 80 outside. Hey, you know, the Yellowtail are running. Let's get out there. Come on, let's do some fishing. We'll work
right,
hash this stuff out on a cocktail napkin. Let's go. That's what happens.
What are we doing here anyway? What are we talking about?
I don't know, Drew.
All right.
I'm explaining why you can't invent anything with ranchero music playing.
Oh, I get it. I get it.
You can only drink. That's all you can do.
And go to the beach.
You can cook and drink, go to the beach. So I think we got to get some classical music over there.
Yeah.
Get that economy back on its feet.
How do you ever get your house rebuilt? You guys listen to that all day long.
Oh,
that may be the whole problem, dude.
Well, that's listen. They throw barbecues at my house. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding, Drew?
I've tasted it.
No. They're proud people, and they know they're stucco. We're going to take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Ready?
Yeah. I still got it. Tell you what. Dr. Drew, otherwise known as the Chi-Town Hustler. Out in Chicago tonight. He's going to be back in studio tomorrow night. True.
Yeah.
We say we hop back on the phones, huh?
Good idea, buddy.
All right. I'm going to go with, someone who's sleepwalking. Chris, 20.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
I just have this problem. It hasn't been happening lately, but in the past when I've drank too much, there's been about 4 or 5 times where I've sleptwalk and not remembered anything. And this has led to embarrassing situations.
Like what?
Well, one time I was spending the night at my friend's apartment in San Francisco. He lives with his sister. I wake up the next morning with a shoebox filled with some artwork that she had done, some, like, molding stuff. I don't know what it was. But I wake up with it next to me, and it's kind of wet. And she comes into the room and asks me if I remember anything. And as it turns out, I went into her room late at night and urinated in it, and then she, you know, showed me the bathroom, but I just didn't remember any of that. And there's been other situations.
Yeah, that's good.
That's a typical thing guys do when they've been drinking, is they go and pee on stuff.
Well, yeah, but I mean, in someone else's room. And
I'm just saying that's a typical thing, and that so you don't drink so much.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've definitely cut it down. I was just wondering, like, was there something wrong with me? Or
no, that is not an uncommon. I'm telling you, it's not an uncommon.
Drew, what about your college roommate?
Yeah, a college friend who, there was actually a next door neighbor, two doors down, who got up in the middle of the night, instead of going to the bathroom, he walked over to his turntable. Back in the day, there was something called a record player.
I think they use them to scratch now.
Right. And they would have these plastic covers on them that had a lid, basically. And he lifted the lid, and it was always on a stack of equipment. You know, it was about toilet height. He'd lift the lid and peed all on his equipment. Then went back to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope Kenny Rogers in the first edition was on there when he did that. Yeah.
All right, enough.
No. Getting wisdom.
All right, enough.
All right, Drew. You know what, man?
I'm not cool. I've had enough.
You are so uptight, brother.
Anyway, so that kind of sleepwalking is not something that needs to be investigated further than
because there's booze involved.
It's pretty clearly a booze related incident, and you know that's what they're going to tell you. You don't drink. Now, whether this is part of alcoholism or not remains to be seen.
Kristen, we already talked to Kristen. Yeah. Hang up, baby. We're done with you. Take it easy with these guys. So slow it down. Reel it in.
Please.
All right. Let's see. I'm going to talk to Patricia. Patricia?
Yeah?
What's up, baby doll? You're 17.
Yeah. I need your guys' advice.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, my ex-boyfriend cheated on me with his ex-girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And he got her pregnant. Mm-hmm. And then he married her without telling me. And then I was pregnant. And then when I found out he was married and I broke up with him, he didn't want to help me pay for the abortion.
Oh, you got pregnant too?
Yeah, I was 17 weeks.
All right. That's a new game we're playing called Jew or Asian. It's tough, Drew. I know it's got to be one or the other, but I'm just not sure. I'm going Jew. Are you Jewish, Patricia? Yeah.
No.
Oh. Asian. Then you must be Asian?
No.
What? I don't believe it. What are you?
I'm half Hispanic, half white.
Shocking. All right. Well, Drew, I gotta recalibrate. So I'm way off now.
So what's the question? What's the question?
What is the question?
He's a horrible guy. What's the problem?
Yeah. Well, I just don't think it's fair that I had to pay for it all because I had to borrow the money from my brother-in-law. Mm-hmm. So, what could I do to, make him help me pay for it?
First of all, you should count your blessings. This guy's out of your life. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You should be so thankful. And anything you do to rekindle any kind of relation with them, even if it's on a legal status, it's you still dancing with that guy. Let it go. Just count your blessings. He's out of your life, and keep him out of your life.
How much was the abortion?
It was $820.
Jeez. Wow. I could have got it for $775.
Yeah. For what?
Yeah, I could have got you a deal.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Talk to me next time. Hey, Patricia, this is... I know it sounds like a lot of money when you're 17, and actually when I was 30, it still sounded like a lot of money because I'm a loser. But this guy's out of your life. So is his demon seed. Move forward. Learn. It'll be worth every penny of that $800
if you learn a
lesson from this. Hook up with good guys. Stay in school. Do all that good stuff. You learned your lesson. Now move forward or you learn nothing. That's what all this stuff is worth, everybody.
Right.
The lesson part. People are like, I got screwed. I'm out money. I didn't get... No, no, no. If you don't do it again, it's worth $1 million.
That's right.
Thank you, my brother. We'll take a break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah. Well, that's the show, everybody. Dr. Drew in the flesh tomorrow night.
Indeed.
We listened to What Condition My Condition Was In a second time, me and Michelle.
I'm so happy for you.
We were jamming.
It was as groovy, if not more, than the first go-round.
Oh, boy.
Thanks,
Now, this is wonderful.
We're going to... Someone else, Drew, doesn't know, everybody. We're going to take ourselves a little extendo break. We'll be right back, same time, same place, tomorrow night. So until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying... Mahalo. Like, honey, you want eggs or cereal for breakfast? Okay, and sunny side up or basted? All righty then.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.